Good morning, everybody. We're going to start this meeting. My name's Jim Kellogg. I'm from the president of the commission from Discovery Bay. Second to my left is Commissioner Richard Rogers, vice president of the commission from Montecito. And next to, well, I'm going to wait a minute on that. To my right is Commissioner Dan Richards from Upland, and right of Dan is Commissioner Michael Sutton from Monterey. Then back to the third on my left is our brand new Commissioner Jack Bayless from Los Angeles. We also have with us our commission staff on my immediate left, John Fisher, our acting executive director. And then next to Commissioner Bayless is Adriana Shea, our deputy executive director. And next to Adriana is Anita Biederman, our analyst. We also have with us Rick Thalhammer from the Deputy Attorney General's office, third to my right here. And then next to Rick is Director of the Department of Fish and Game, John McCammon. Next to John is Sankey Mastrip, our Deputy Director. And we also have with us Nancy Foley, our Deputy Director over Law Enforcement, and Chief Rob Allen, and Warden Jennifer Hayakamoto. So with that, John's going to tee up our agenda item for us, which will include a little slide presentation, I believe.
Thank you, Mr. President. A few housekeeping items before we get started. Please turn off any electronic devices or cell phones that you have. They will disrupt this meeting tremendously, so make sure that you turn those things off right now. Thank you. And I'm turning mine off as I say this. Second thing to announce, restrooms are out this door here to your right for the women. Go straight back that way, okay? For the men, you have to work all the way off to the right and go through the restaurant to find the men's restroom. It's a little bit more of a walk. This meeting will be conducted under provisions of the Begley-Keene Open Meetings Act. We do not tolerate disruptions, outbursts from the audience. If you want to speak, please fill out one of these green speaker cards and give it to our staff up here on the left. There will be 3 minutes per speaker time allotted for each person that's filled out a card. If you have time ceded to you, you can have one more minute for a total of four. Again, I want to emphasize no disruptions, no outbursts from the audience. If you're speaking, please come up here, fill out a card, give it to us, and come up here and be prepared to speak. The meeting will be recorded. It will be webcast live, and it will also be archived, and it will be available on the commission's website. Speaker time, I mentioned earlier, 3 minutes. If you have exhibits, when we call your name, please come up and get into a line so that you're ready to go forward and speak immediately. If you have exhibits to hand out, when we call your name, please give them to our staff. If you have an electronic presentation of some type, please give them to the AGP folks, and you can see that they're raising their hand down there. I believe that's it for the housekeeping announcements. We have a number of speaker cards submitted, so we'll get right to the agenda item. This has solely one agenda item on the commission's meeting agenda today. It's discussion and consideration of possible extension of public review and comment period for the draft environmental impact report regarding marine protected areas in the California South Coast Study Region pursuant to the Marine Life Protection Act. If you would put up that first slide, I'd appreciate it. Thanks. By way of background, commissioners, at your April 7th meeting in Monterey, you authorized staff to publish notice of intent to amend Section 632 of Title 14 and establish the marine protected areas for the South Coast Study Region. That was at the April meeting. We delayed publishing that notice until September 17th, and I'll explain why in just a second. We wanted to see that the CEQA document was coming forward, and we wanted to have a good idea of the time frame for that CEQA document. We got an idea of the time frame for that CEQA document, and at the August 18th teleconference meeting, commissioners, you voted unanimously to hold the MLPA South Coast Study Region discussion hearing at the October 21, 20, and 21st meeting in San Diego, and the adoption hearing at the December 15th and 16th meeting in Santa Barbara. So you made that our direction to staff at the August 18th meeting by teleconference. If you'd show the next slide. So by way of background, we have an APA review that was established, that's on the far right of the slide up here, established to be September 17th to December 15th. We published the notice of intent to amend the regulations on September 17th, and the review period goes until December 15th. That is what has been noticed already from the APA standpoint, okay? And on the right-hand column, that doesn't change at all. That's because that's what's been noticed. And the department will have some comments about that a little bit later, and there may be some questions about that a little bit later, too. Currently, on the left-hand column under CEQA review, currently the review period is August 18th to October 4th. If you decided to do a 15-day extension today, it would be August 18th to October 19th. And you can see the next two columns for a 30-day extension would go to November 3rd, and for a 45-day extension would go to November 18th. Regardless of what you decide, you're currently noticed to adopt regulations on December 15th. If we change that date, we need to do a re-notice through the APA process, and we can talk about that later. I have a bunch of speaker cards that I'm going to get. We're going to call public speakers right now. Sankey, anybody from the department want to add anything on this right now? After the speaker cards?
After the public speaking, I think the secretary is asking you to do something into the record.
Okay. And the other things that I want to point out before we get to the speaker cards, commissioners, Exhibit 1 in your binder has a list of the written comments that have been submitted to you up until, I think it was yesterday, at about, up until close of business Monday. So I want to call your attention to Exhibit 1 in your binders. There's a number of written comments that have been submitted, including those from Assemblymember Ted Liu, Senator Dennis Hollingsworth, and other legislators. Also want to call your attention to a letter that was submitted by Natural Resources Agency Secretary Snow. So I want to call your attention to those. And with that, if it's all right, Mr. President, we'll go ahead and have public comments.
Yeah.
Okay, public comments. When we call your name, please come on up front. You have 3 minutes to speak. First public commenter is Jonathan Bishop, followed by Phil Fries, followed by Richard Bell. Mr. Bishop, you have 3 minutes.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Jonathan Bishop. I'm the Chief Deputy Director for the State Water Resource Control Board. I'm here primarily to give you some information concerning concerns that we've heard from the LA County Sanitation District about their worry that marine life protected areas for the south southern area would potentially lead to increased requirements on their outfall. They have an outfall off Palos Verdes Peninsula. We have heard those concerns, and in response, my board has directed me to prepare a resolution to clarify how the State Water Board would address those issues, and I'm here to give you a summary of what those are. What we're staff is proposing is to clarify that we would not be, our task would be to designate state water quality protected areas and then water quality requirements associated with those. It is not our intent to designate state water quality protected areas that intersect with existing ocean outfalls. So we would not be proposing to add new water quality requirements for their outfall either at the outfall or in the initial zone of dilution, which is part of our requirements. And it would be also clarifying that under our regulations, we would be proposing that the existing outfalls would need to meet water quality objectives at the edge of the initial zone of dilution, and that we would not be imposing different requirements for those outfalls based on whatever decision you make on protected areas. That is not to say that the ocean plan might not change at some future date and change their requirements. I think they understand that, but we wouldn't be doing it based on your designations. We do plan at some future date to be looking at each of the marine life protected areas and determining which ones would be eligible for water quality protected areas and looking at requirements within those areas, but that would be a separate issue. And I'd be happy to answer any other questions that you have. But.
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Sutton.
Thank you, Mr. Bishop. Thank you for being here, making the trip.
Pleasure.
Let me just make sure I understand what you're saying. The State Water Board does not intend to piggyback regulatory action on the MLPA. The State Water Board does not intend to piggyback regulatory action this time on the MLPA, and therefore the fears that have been articulated by the various sanitation districts are unfounded as far as you're concerned. Is that correct?
Well, let me be a little more nuanced than that. We are not proposing to blanketly impose areas of special biological significance, which is the restricted no discharge zones, on top of MLPAs just in general. We will be looking at individual areas, reserves, and determining if there are special discharge requirements that are needed. But we are not proposing to do that, which would intersect in an existing outfall.
So you would do that anyway, is that correct?
That's correct.
Your job is to look along the coast and for areas that need protection from water pollution.
That's correct.
Okay. Thanks.
Commissioner Richards.
Thank you. Thank you for coming, and I appreciate that update. I'm curious, have you been in dialogue with the Sanitation District on your resolution that you've passed, and are they satisfied? Does that satisfy their concerns?
Well, we haven't passed the resolution yet. We are proposing that resolution to come to our board in the first meeting in November, November 3rd time frame, because that's our noticing requirements are going to require that. I have been in contact. I actually met as early as Monday, as late as Monday, with the Sanitation District to talk about the language. And you can ask them when they're here, but my impression was that they were satisfied that that would take care of their concerns.
Assuming it passes November 3rd.
That's correct.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bill Freeze, followed by Richard Bell, followed by Ada Stevenson.
President Kellogg, members of the Commission, my name is Phil Freeze. I'm the Department Head of Technical Services for the County Sanitation Districts of Los Angeles County. We're a regional agency that provides wastewater service for about 5.5 million people in Los Angeles County, and we operate ocean outfalls offshore of the Palos Verdes Peninsula and have a long history of comprehensive monitoring of the marine environment in this location. During the notice of preparation scoping process, the sanitation districts provided verbal and written comments regarding the need to fully consider potential environmental impacts of MPA placement on South Palos Verdes due to the Palos Verdes Superfund site and what we felt were reasonably foreseeable water quality requirements for marine protected areas that might be implemented by the State Water Board. These conditions clearly raise substantive questions about potential environmental impacts from MPA placement on South Palos Verdes, including air quality, biological resources, public services and utilities, and cumulative impacts that must be fully described and evaluated in the EIR. These complex issues were either not addressed or not fully evaluated in the South Coast Study Region draft EIR. Therefore, the sanitation districts encourage the Commission to issue an extension to the comment period for the draft EIR so our staff and consultants can adequately review and comment on the document and provide department staff with more detailed information regarding the potential environmental impacts associated with marine protected area placement off South Palos Verdes. Now, the commissioners are aware that sanitation districts have long opposed designation of the Abalone Cove and Point Vicente marine protected areas due to our assessment of very large potential socioeconomic impacts on the sanitation district's ratepayers associated with state water board regulations that could be triggered by the MLPA process. As Mr. Bishop just noted, the sanitation districts are working productively with the state water board towards an identified solution to address our concerns regarding new water quality requirements for MPAs and attendant regulation of our discharge. If these efforts prove successful, subject to agreement from our boards, the sanitation districts will withdraw our opposition to designation of the Abalone Cove and Point Vicente marine protected areas. Thank you for consideration of our comments, and we look forward to providing further assistance and information to the Commission and Department in connection with preparation of the environmental impact report for the project.
Commissioner Richards.
Thank you for being here. You're one of the more significant agencies that have voiced some concerns. We have a number of people that are asking for an extension, but you're one of the more substantive as far as size public agencies. And so I'm curious, with the 45 days that is mandated by law, and you're asking for an additional 45 days, what additional opportunity would that afford you? Because that, you know, obviously this is fairly controversial, and so I think the specifics of what you would do with that extra 45 days that you're not able to do in the current 45 days.
We did in our letter ask for a 45-day extension. At this point, based on the progress we've made to date with the State Water Board, we're not focused on 45 days. We would try to make most productive use we could of any extension that the Commission would grant. We do have about four consultants producing various work products that will feed into our comments on both the draft EIR and the ISOR document, and it would just give more time for them to complete those documents, more thorough review of those documents, as well as the EIR, to prepare our best possible comments.
Richard Bell, followed by Ada Stevenson, followed by Michael Sheehy, and Randy Yanamura.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to provide comments today, Chairman, members of the Commission, and the newest member. My name is Richard Bell. I am the manager for Water Resources and Facility Planning for the Municipal Water District of Orange County down in and I'm also the manager of the ocean desalinization project we're developing down in Dana Point. For that project, we are serving not only as a manager, but development of the overall program. We have five participating agencies. This project has been underway for 7 years now. We spent something close to $5 million a day, another $4 million to go. Concerns we have, well, one thing I should mention is that the project will derive its ocean feed water by a unique method. We're using slant wells under the ocean. We're working very closely with state parks as we're on the Doheny Beach. Our approach has been supported by the various organizations, Coastal Commission, State Lands Commission, EPA, environmental organizations, and has widespread support in South Orange County. So we have everybody supporting the project. What happened, we have a slant well built right now. We have a 3 million gallon a day facility operating. And it's a test project to develop the design parameters we need for the project. We plan to build the project in about 2015, 2016. We're about halfway through that process. Unfortunately, in the process, when the DIR was written, the two-year process, the master plan, the IPA, said remove the Doheny Beach 1969 Life Refuge. State Parks came before you and asked you, because it's an existing refuge, it provides a significant educational value, and there's some tide pools, please retain it. The unfortunate thing in the DAR process is that the old language of 1969, which is now in that document and in your, I saw in the Title 14 regs, doesn't show the wastewater outfall that's there now and doesn't provide for this ocean desal project. And without that information in that document, it's not in the rule book, and it could be a real problem for us. So what we're looking for you, if you can remove an option as option one prefers, you can probably modify the option two. So we're asking at some point in this process, sooner than later, that staff may be directed and will be more than willing to work with them to get the right information on the project to modify that option two for state parks, working very cooperatively with state parks to allow these facilities in that option. It just got overlooked because the way it was put in at the last minute. So we're in the process of reviewing the DIR. And much what Bill said, we're in the same situation. We have consultants doing different things. And we can probably make the deadline by the 4th. A few more days would help. But we do ask that you do consider that issue, inadvertent issue that sort of happened in the process. And we'll be bringing comments back to you on October 20th on hopefully how that can be addressed. Thank you.
Commissioner Rogers.
I think I got one. Sankey, I understand that you've been in dialogue with respect to this. Do you have any commentary about the gentleman's remarks?
Yeah, staff has been in discussions, and we're, as directed by the commission earlier, we're going to look at how to hold harmless this infrastructure and the project. So there's a couple other cleanup items that in October we'll be asking the commission to consider for re-notice of the APA document, which will still be able to fall within the timeline you have. So this would be a cleanup item.
Thank you, Sankey. It seems like a reasonable thing to do. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Bell.
Thank you.
Ada Stevenson, followed by Michael Sheehy, followed by Randy Yonemura.
Good afternoon, Commission. My name is Ada Stevenson. I'm here representing the Mayor's Office in Fort Bragg, California, also the Board of Supervisors in Mendocino County, but more importantly, Intertribal Water Commission here in Sacramento. We represent 54 federally recognized tribes that span throughout the state of California. It's our recommendation that we expand the public comment period for the Southern California Array based solely on the tool that we believe the MLPAI is utilizing is a flawed tool, because in the beginning it was not to include tribes. Tribal voices throughout California were not heard in the development of the MLPAs until recently, when we went forged ahead, when our regional North Coast regional group implied explicit language for the co-management of the recommended marine protected areas. The other part of that is, and we talk about, I hear some of the people from Southern California talk about the impacts of affluence into some of the protected marine areas. Tribal people are against any kind of contamination and chronic pollution where there are no consequence whatsoever. Tribal people have provided stewardship for the ocean, and because we are left out of the initial tool, that flawed tool has become from Southern California to extreme Northern California, which I represent at this time, because I am a traditional fishing person. We have noticed climate change due to some of that constant contamination and pollution into our shoreline base. We have noticed the changes in the migration of our fish that we need for subsistence. We have noticed changes in our rock formations due to development. We understand that our tribal sciences that are provided to some of our tribes in Northern California have been not included on the science advisory team committee. And so tribal science in that aspect has not been included. So again, that tool is flawed in many areas, we believe. And again, I want to stress that we believe that the the public comment period should be extended to the maximum, if not altogether more than that. We believe that the citizenship here of California, especially the tribal people, deserve more conversation and more details to work to in the protection and co-management of our ocean and our marine life. So we would like you to take these things into consideration when you make your decision today. And do you have any questions?
Michael Sheehy, followed by Randy Yanamura, followed by Leah Protopapadakis.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. I'm Michael Sheehy with Santa Barbara Channel Keeper. I'm here really just from our area to encourage you to maintain the current CEQA draft EIR comment period as is. There's a few points I want to make on that, one of which is the understanding and specificity of the fact that much of the comments that you have been getting are comments that also are general enough to actually be pertinent in the overall discussion of the MLPA and the implementation of MPAs in Southern California that can go beyond this the CEQA draft EIR into your deliberations in October and moving forward. And also, as indicated by the input received at the CEQA scoping meeting that was requested, there really was a variety of information received, but the actual information was limited in those that improved the project or the alternatives in meeting the environmental conservation goals of the law, or specifics to better inform specific MPA boundaries or regulations. At this point, we're seeing a lot of comments that are narrow points of view regarding interest groups' competing opinions of marine protected areas, really, in general. A topic that is really fairly well established, no matter what form those points of view take. So giving more time to generate yet other ways to express those opinions is not necessary, and furthermore, potentially costly in revamping the commission's schedule or staff time. Thank you very much for your help.
Randy Yanamura, Leah Protopapadakis, Guy Grundmeier, and Jeff Russell.
Good afternoon, Commission. I'd like to welcome you to Anishinaabemowin territory, where you're sitting at now. I'm Randy Yanamura, Project Director for the California Indian Heritage Council. The California Indian Heritage Council supports the public comment period to be extended regarding the Marine Life Protection Act initiative. Inclusiveness of California residents, and particularly the California Indians, policies developed without the opinion of the very people they impact is not democratic society. Access to the ocean for traditional fishing and gathering, commercial and recreational uses means the socioeconomic implications have not been included within the data collecting tools and methods utilized during the MLPA process. Traditional tribal conversations, conservation, and stewardship efforts have taken into their process the effects of natural and man-made activities in order for tribes and communities to address critical climate change, marine habitat, and estuary well-being. The public must be allowed ample time to engage and assist Department of Fish and Game Commission in meeting the goals and objectives for ocean conservation. We recommend the Southern California Array be revisited and the public comment period be extended so the public may voice their concerns and issues. Any questions?
Leah Protopapadakis, Guy Grundmeier, Jeff Russell.
President Kellogg and fellow commissioners, thank you for this opportunity to speak to you today. My name is Leah Protopapadakis, and I'm the marine scientist for the Santa Monica Bay Restoration Commission. We're a non-regulatory state entity charged with improving the health of the Santa Monica Bay through local partnerships. I come before you today to urge that you do not extend the CEQA comment period and further delay implementation of the Marine Life Protection Act of 1999. The SMBRC conducts a comprehensive assessment of all environmental monitoring data available for the Santa Monica Bay every 5 years. These data show improvements in the community structure of benthic marine life in the areas surrounding major sewage outfalls. However, it also shows continuing declines in popular fish species such as kelp bass, halibut, and barred sand bass over the past 22 years. They also show increases in the CPUE of trash fish like blacksmith, which indicates ecosystem disturbance and a decline in predatory fish. Finally, there's significantly lower densities of popular fish species such as kelp bass at popular fishing spots along the Los Angeles County coastline, such as Deep Hole, Leo Carrillo, and Long Point. Pollution is no longer the primary stressor for marine life populations. Fishing pressure and an unbalanced ecosystem are. Research has also shown that MPAs do not just increase fish biomass abundance and size inside reserves, but they do it outside as well, which benefit fishermen. 62% more world record size fish have been caught in the areas near reserves on Florida's Atlantic coast than in areas without reserves. And in spite of the reduced fishing areas, trapped fishermen in the Virgin Islands are seeing 46 to 90% higher CPUE, and trammel net fishermen in Egypt are seeing 66% higher CPUE in just 5 years after reserves went into place there. Last year, our 35-member governing board, including representatives from the Los Angeles County Sanitation District and the City of Redondo Beach, unanimously voted in favor of a resolution supporting outcomes of the Marine Life Protection Act that protect high-quality rocky habitats in the Santa Monica Bay, including the Palos Verdes Peninsula. Our involvement with the MLPA process began in 2006, and we find that the MLPA initiative has pushed the level of public involvement in agency decision-making into a whole new plane. Never before have stakeholders been asked to design an agency's regulations, long before they go through CEQA, which we're in right now. Members of the public, so Southern California is larger and more complicated than any of the previous regions, but it has also taken more public input than any other region. Members of the public in the South Coast have submitted more than 5 times the amount of public comment than in the North Central Coast, even though the South Coast region is only 3 times larger by area. If you decide to extend the comment period, you'll be telling the thousands of people who have provided input over these past 2 years that you do not have confidence in their work. Thank you.
Guy Grenmeyer, followed by Jeff Russell, followed by Stephanie Sikich.
Thank you, commissioners, for giving me this time. The MLPA that is in my area, San Luis Obispo, makes it a lot harder to get our fish in spots. These people want an extension. I think you should give them an extension because there's a lot going on down there. It sounds like these agencies have already spent a ton of money on it. And really haven't looked and seen what's happened in our area yet. Maybe get some of the results from these areas and then continue on. So I think the extension would be a good thing. Of course, I'm a commercial fisherman. You know, I've gotten a chance to introduce myself to a few of you. I've got 23 years and a half million pounds landed. I trawled down there with a halibut trawl net 1 mile off the beach for several years. I have presented Zonkey, or a first name around here, Zonkey over there. I've given him my history, and you can look in that history, and you can see where I trawled the halibut down there. And these MLPAs and MPAs, and there's an awful lot of regulation that went into this, gentlemen, and an awful lot of bag limits for sport guys went down, their seasons went down. There's an awful lot of things along with the MPAs. All of that combined has, I've been doing this a long time. The fishing has come back. But you need to really start looking and seeing. I don't know if you guys got the funding even for this, because I don't think the areas have really been researched where they have been shut down for funding purposes. And it sounds like these guys are funding a whole bunch of stuff just to figure out what the language is. So hopefully some of these funds can start going to, something that's going to help us instead of just figuring out if the legal law, the jargon is going to work for us. And I look forward to coming back and working with this commission. I'm getting back into fishing. I've been gone for a while. And I don't want to be confrontational. Everybody's got a loose cannon. And Kellogg knows me. I'm a passionate man, okay? But I want to come back here and I want to make sense. I want it to be a conversation between the commercial fisherman, the guy that spends 23 years, lands a half million pounds, maybe fishes 300 days a year. We have a lot of information, and we're getting old. I got glasses now, okay? And the fisheries are, you're going to lose a really good, valuable resource with us fishermen. So if we can come back and see you again sometime, and you should extend that. Thank you for your time.
Jeff Russell, followed by Stephanie Sykich, followed by Dave Westhoff and Whitney Graves. Mr. Russell.
Good afternoon, President Kellogg and members of the Commission. My name is Jeff Russell, and I'm with the Natural Resources Defense Council. I'm also a native Southern Californian, born and raised in San Clemente, and intimately familiar with many of the areas under consideration for designation as marine protected areas. In fact, a little too intimately sometimes. Words can't really describe the experience and the vulnerability that comes with coming face-to-face with a 500-pound seal or swimming over a gigantic ray or having a whale breach 20 feet away from your surfboard. But swimming at spots like Swami's or South La Jolla or the coves of Laguna Beach, I've come to appreciate what those places are. And I can say the same for my friends and family. So I thank you for all of your work creating the network of MPAs that you've done so far. A strong MPA network will create a healthier and more robust ocean. I think that goes without saying. I respectfully request that the Commission does not delay the process any further by extending the CEQA comment period. The process of designing and evaluating marine protected areas on the South Coast has already undergone an unprecedented amount of review. Both fishermen and conservationists have participated in 57 days of public meetings and 95 hours of public comments. Please act promptly to implement the integrated preferred alternative for Southern California. Our fisheries are in trouble and need the protections provided by the MPAs to rebound and thrive. Thank you.
Commissioner Richards.
Actually,
I have a
couple questions for you. I was going to question the young lady before you, but I thought I'd wait a little bit to see if I heard it again. I heard you say that our fisheries are in trouble, and I'm interested in that comment because the Fish and Game Department has told us repeatedly, including as late as 2 weeks ago, that our fisheries are not in trouble. And so I'm curious why you, and that's my first question, and then I'll get to the second. Why are you saying our fisheries are in trouble when we're hearing the exact same opposite?
Well, fish stocks haven't had a good decade for the past, the past 2 decades haven't been good to them. Fish stocks have been crashing. 10 years ago, there's a major crash along the West Coast. We have five or six fish stocks that are being rebuilt right now on the West Coast. And that applies to the entire West Coast, California, Washington, Oregon. The marine protected areas are one way to start rebuilding those stocks that are under significant fishing pressure. And you can talk to a conservationist or a fisherman who's been around for 20 years. They'll tell you these fish aren't there the way they used to be.
Well, I don't know about that. I know what reports we get from the science, and it says that we do not have fisheries in trouble, which are the exact opposite of what you said. Second thing is, I'm just curious which agency or which group do you represent?
I work with the Natural Resources Defense Council.
You work with them or for them?
For them.
Okay, thank you. I'm curious what you would feel would be the downside for additional. This is a, 500-page CEQA document. It was nice that you mentioned there were 57 days of testimony, but that was testimony, not comment, on the 500-page document that came out of that. So I'm curious, is what's your fear that would happen if there was an extended 1 day, 1 week, 1 month? What is your fear there?
Oh, I wouldn't call it a fear, but I do go back to the scoping meeting that the commission held a couple months ago, and the relative lack of public participation and the lack of any new substantive issues that were raised. I think that the commission has sufficient information before it right now to make a decision, and I can't see anything new that would come from extending the period except for delay of implementation of this important law in the affected areas.
So in your professional opinion, anything anybody would have to say going forward just wouldn't be worth anything?
No,
We've already heard everything. That's what you just said.
I think that there's been an ample amount of time for people to participate in the process.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. President.
Commissioner Sutton.
Thank you, Mr. President. Maybe as the co-chair of the Commission's Marine Advisory or the Marine Resources Committee, I could help Commissioner Richards understand the status of fisheries in California, because it is a confusing concept. And that is, as I understand it, both from the federal and state governments, there's a difference between overfishing going on and overfished stocks. In other words, we have very little overfishing still going on in California, but the patient is still in the hospital, and some of the patients are still critical, to use a medical analogy. So we are rebuilding our fisheries, hopefully at a pace that will see success within our lifetimes. But many of them have suffered enormous overfishing in the past and are rebuilding now. So when we hear people say, well, there's no overfishing going on in California, that may be true. But it belies the fact that many of our fisheries are still recovering and will be recovering for years from past abuse, from past overfishing. That's the fact today, and that's what we need to keep in mind as our commission promulgates regulations to help rebuild them. So it is a confusing difference, but it is an important one, that it may be true that no overfishing is going on now, thanks to intelligent and forward-looking regulation, but we have a lot of fisheries still in trouble that still need to be rebuilt. And we're doing that along with our colleagues in the federal government. Thanks.
Stephanie Sykich, followed by Dave Westhoff, followed by Whitney Graves.
I'm sorry. I would like an opportunity to respond to that question as well.
You can't.
Didn't she already speak?
She spoke.
Yeah.
Yes. Sorry.
Sit back down.
It was partially directed at me.
Sorry. Stephanie.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. My name is Stephanie Sykich Quinn. I am a campaign specialist for the headquarters of the Surfrider Foundation. The Surfrider Foundation has an extremely diverse membership. We are surfers, divers, fishers, environmentalists, you name it. For considering those dynamics of our membership, we felt that the onus was upon us to reach middle ground during this process. It wasn't easy. I have gray hair because of it. And we came out to our diverse membership. Again, we literally spent hundreds of hours meeting with consumptives and non-consumptives alike. And at the end of the process, we submitted an official map with recommendations to the Blue Ribbon Task Force in October. Ironically, it ended up looking very similar to Map 1, which came out of the Middle Ground group from the RSG. So that was delightful for us to see, look, we talked to both conservationists and fishermen, we come together in this middle ground, we were able to find this, and then long behold, here comes the map from the RSG themselves, the folks who were the map makers of this process, which was pretty amazing. Having been in the inside and outside of this process, I can safely say to you this has been one of the most thorough public processes I've ever seen in my entire life. Besides the fact that you've taken hours and hours upon hours of public comment, your initiative staff, the RSG, throughout the whole 2 years has just been fastidious with the amount of information that you've received. Therefore, Surfrider respects requestfully that you urge to go forward with the CEQA process and implement the IPA in the South Coast. We attended the scoping hearings down in Southern California, and we were actually a little surprised to see how lightly attended those scoping hearings were. I mean, considering I've been doing, you know, this regulatory work for 15 years, and I've never been to a scoping hearing that was so poorly attended. So as we were leaving, we were discussing this, and we were thinking, why was it so poorly attended, and why were there no major substantive comments that were brought up that we haven't already heard over the past 2 years? So those two things combined together led Surfrider to believe that, you know, the general public and those who are truly invested, I mean truly who have been to your hearings upon hearings in the MLPA process, would have showed up and expressed their concerns during the scoping hearing. I guess I just want to thank you, I guess, as the last-ditch effort to acknowledge all the work that you have done and the dedication that you have for this process. I also want to thank the initiative staff. They've done a tremendous job, and those RSG members who are here today as well. It's not easy, and I appreciate your dedication going forward. I think all the dedication and public comment that has been invested in the past 2 years is worthy for us to continue with the CEQA process and implementing the IPA in the South Coast. Thanks again for your time.
Thank you.
Okay, Dave Westhoff, followed by Whitney Graves, followed by Sarah Amenzada. Mr. Westhoff.
President Kellogg and commissioners, some of you may recognize me. I'm the notorious bird guy. Good to see you again. I spent the longest 18 months of my life as a regional stakeholder on the South Coast Regional Stakeholder Group. I learned an incredible lesson in public policy and also a great deal about marine biology, being a bird guy. I mean, for most of my constituents, the birds, that's feeding territory, and we're trying to conserve that. And the feeding territory and where the birds forage and roost, et cetera, is critically important, and it's not important so much, although it's a big part of it, by the kinds of fish that we measure by fishing, but it's the entire array of biodiverse species that we need, because we don't yet understand the food web. We understand the market shrimp, or squid, or we understand the barracuda, but what feeds them? And what feeds the things that feed them? We don't understand that. And so rather than say, well, you know, let's do this because we can improve the catch of halibut, or we can improve what have you, is not enough. The world is watching what we're doing here. We know that. There are MPAs throughout the world, but California is a very difficult, as always, a very difficult arena to work in. And if it can be done here, it can be done anywhere in the world. And we're, I think, setting the standard and the bar. We're standing a standard because of the incredible work that the initiative staff has done in terms of putting together a forum, a format, a process by which the 64 regional stakeholders like myself were able to feel comfortable that what we said, what we considered, and the deliberations we went through, that they were going to provide the best possible compromise using the best possible science available. And right now, it looks like that process is being postponed. We're not sure exactly why, but so we would encourage you to not do to keep the priority, keep the pedal to the metal, move this forward as quickly as we possibly can, because from a very parochial perspective, the birds are waiting. Now, we're still seeing, and thank you for delisting the California brown pelican, but I'll bring up a case that January, February, and March of this year, International Bird Rescue, I'm on the board of directors, International took in 500 California brown pelicans in our Southern California center. Over the course of 10 weeks, we took in 500 pelicans that were starving, emaciated, dehydrated, and we don't know why. We've done everything we can to figure out what something on their feathers or what have you. Well, as soon as we start messing with the environment, we're going to be producing unpredictable results. And we think maybe that's what's going on now. So I ask you to keep moving forward and keep this process a priority. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Whitney Graves, followed by Sarah Amanzada, followed by Lila Monroe, and then Ray Heimstra. Ms. Graves.
Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Whitney Graves. I'm from Long Beach, California, and I've been watching this process for around a year and a half now, and the amount of effort the participants have put into this South Coast process is both staggering and very commendable, and I wish to do that now. They have looked at all of the information that was presented to them, biological, social, economic, and to be blunt, I haven't heard a lot of truly new information that was presented to them since before the BRTF made their recommendation of the IPA. The stakeholders and the BRTF did a truly fantastic job, in this participant's opinion, listening to and incorporating public input when developing the compromise map. And to postpone this comment deadline would, in my opinion, undermine the inclusive public process that's taken place thus far. On a somewhat different note, I live in Long Beach, which is right on the border of Orange County, and I literally know of hundreds of people who are aware of this process, who are following this process, and are looking to Laguna, to the proposed reserve there, and are looking forward to seeing that happen. They're also looking forward to the meeting in October and wish to participate in it. And to throw a loop into this process, to push it back and make it more difficult for them to figure out exactly how they can take time out of their busy schedules to be a part of this and play an active role, is somewhat unfair to them. They wish to be a part of this, and I hope that you facilitate their participation by keeping this on track. Out of respect for those who have invested so much of their time and of themselves into developing the IPA, please do not delay the CEQA comment deadline and allow the South Coast process to move forward as planned. Thank you.
Sarah Amanzada, Lila Monroe, Ray Heimstra, and Paul Hobie.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. I'm Sarah Amanzada, representing the California Coast Keeper Alliance. We're a network of 12 water keepers up and down the state from San Diego to the Oregon border, including Santa Barbara Channel Keeper, San Diego Coast Keeper, and Orange County Coast Keeper are all here today. I grew up in Southern California, visiting the Orange County beaches, and was actually back in LA this weekend in Santa Monica. And on behalf of myself and all of the water keepers, I urge this commission not to delay this process. I think it is harmful to delay this process because it undermines a reliable and credible public process. And the commission may be aware of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife's recently released strategic plan on climate change, which specifically calls attention to the need to take immediate action to protect marine and coastal resources in priority objective 3.6, and in general to protect marine resources so that they can be resilient to so many of the climate change impacts that they face, including ocean acidification and salinity. And I respectfully submit to the commission that the question is not what would the harm be in extending the CEQA process, which I believe there would be harm, but what would the benefit be? What could be solved in 15 or 30 or 45 days? What is the specific extenuating circumstance or emergency that justifies such an extension? I respectfully request that you do not delay this process and that you move forward immediately to implement the South Coast Marine Protected Areas. Thank you.
Lila Monroe, Ray Heimstra, Paul Hobie, Greg Helms. Ms. Monroe.
Thank you. My name is Layla Monroe with the Natural Resources Defense Council. I'd like to just offer a small personal anecdote as to give reference to my reason for being here and the work that I do. My great-grandparents moved to La Jolla in the 20s, the 1920s, and my grandfather has spent almost 90 years as a recreational fisherman, followed by my grandmother, my father and uncles, and then grandkids with them. And the reason I point this out is just the anecdotes that have been part of my life growing up and seeing how the marine life in the South Coast has in fact degraded, calling for measures such as marine protected areas, which help to regenerate not just individual fisheries, but help to revitalize entire ecosystems, generating more resilience, not just from the pressures of fishing, but also to help improve resilience against the pressures of climate change impacts, as Sarah mentioned a moment ago. So it's quite clear to me and many of us that these are a very important measure, and we're very happy to see the process moving along. Now, as to the delay, I would respectfully urge that no delay be, or that delay be disallowed at this time. And I'd like to offer professional experience I had actually yesterday of traveling to Oregon to meet with individuals who are participating in the process of creating marine protected areas in our northern neighbors, off our northern neighbors' coast. And we were sharing information about their process and ours, and they're truly impressed by the consistency of the public comment, the extent of the public comment, and they really are watching what we're doing and the progress of the process here. So one of the reasons why it is quite important, I think, to maintain the steady progress of this process is for the example that we're setting for neighbors along the West Coast. So for those reasons, I would just encourage the continued process or progress and encourage that no delay be allowed in the process. Thank you very much.
Ray Heimstra, Paul Holby, Greg Helms, Sakita Grant. Mr. Heimstra.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. My name is Ray Heimstra, and I'm the Associate Director with Orange County Coast Keeper. I'm here today to ask you to keep the standard timeline, the 45-day timeline for comment on the EIR, and keep the South Coast MLPA process on track. Since 2008, I've been working on this process as an RSG member, and it's been a long haul. I've worked with hundreds of stakeholders, including tribal interests, both as RSG members and also through the Wishtoyo Foundation that represents tribal interests in L.A. County. So there's been every opportunity for all the stakeholders to get their say in, both through the RSG process, and then there was the CEQA scoping meeting that was held earlier where they had more chance to speak. So going forward, I've reviewed 50, 60 EIRs myself. Only one time have I ever asked for an extension, and that was when we had over 4,000 pages in an EIR. And we weren't granted that extension. It would be extenuating circumstances to grant an extension in this thing, and I find it ironic that the public agencies, which have an army of consultants to work on this, would request more time when they've said that they are able to get their comments in the proper period. So I'd just like to close by saying that, I hope that we keep to the standard timeline and keep the process on track. Thank you.
Paul Holby, Greg Helms, Sakita Grant, Jonathan Alexander. Mr. Hobey.
Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Paul Hobey. I'm with Ocean Conservancy. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak in front of you here today. I'd like to respectfully urge the commission to keep plans for protecting Southern California's coast on track. A number of fellow ocean users in California feel the same way. Over 400 people have emailed the commission urging them to keep plans for protecting Southern California's coast on track. I've brought a stack of these emails here today to be submitted to public record, although they've already been submitted to the commission. While many of these letters do say express similar sentiments, many folks have taken the time to personalize their letters. I found one of them to be especially compelling, and I'd like to share a selection from it with you all here today. This gentleman says, I've lived along the Southern California coast since 1952, first in Palos Verdes, then in Santa Barbara. During those 58 years, I've been an avid freediver, fisherman, and surfer. In that capacity, I've personally observed a gradual contamination of the nearshore environment, causing me to find less healthy coastal conditions. I was pleased to see the organization of the OPC and passage of the MLPA, hoping the degradation of the ocean would be reversed. Please keep plans for protecting Southern California's coast on track. Thank you.
Commissioner Richards.
Thank you for those comments, and thank you for pointing out there were 400 emails suggesting that we stay within the 45-day review period for CEQA. Are you knowledgeable on how many emails we received requesting extensions of that?
I believe there were more than 400.
Like 800.
Uh-huh.
So twice as many. Good. Thank you. I wanted to make sure you knew that.
Sure.
Greg Helms, followed by Sakita Grant, Jonathan Alexander, and Jen Eckerly. Mr. Helms.
Good afternoon, commissioners. I'm Greg Helms with the Ocean Conservancy, working out of Southern California on the RSG and participating in this for a long, long, long time. I've done a fair amount of work in the California Environmental Quality Act process in my career, and it's CEQA in the environmental review process is normally the big event, the main thing when you're dealing with regulatory processes, project development, development projects and whatnot. It's the major tool, so I've had a lot of experience in it. And here in this project, it works a little differently, and it's a little bit of a different beast. Not just because the environmental review here is of a project that's intended and clear benefits will be to benefit the environment, but also because this is a process that was... because it was an upside-down project, we started with science, we started with stakeholders, we started with economics, we started with social community inputs, considering military, considering ports and harbors. We started with that stuff, and really the whole process, and indeed the alternatives that you're looking at, have that built into the very design process. And so it went, and so the CEQA process is limited. It's designed to inform you of the effects on the physical environment, and that's really a limitation. It's really why this process was so fantastic compared to typical issues, because we went so far beyond the physical environment into environmental into economic issues, and so many other types of stakeholder issues that we applied throughout. Now. Notably, the process was also designed to bring stakeholders together to find common ground and to use the data and the stakeholders and the socioeconomics and the science application, the reviews that we had, to bring folks together to find that blend of meeting the goals of the Marine Life Protection Act and meeting the needs of stakeholders. Problem with what I consider to be an undue focus on the CEQA process at this stage is it does have that limit, and what it does is it tends to offer an opportunity to sort of empower the folks on the ends and really take away the power from the folks who really worked in the most good faith to bring something together into the center. Not the intention, of course, but that's the potential you have. You really do have this middle ground proposal, as another presenter was saying. You've got something that looks very much like what the core of the consumptive, the divers, and the conservationists built, and by sort of over applying this more limited sort of end game here, it really can really repolarize a process that had so much common ground to it, and that's a big reason why I oppose and hope you will oppose the extension of the CEQA process beyond the 6 weeks that's been provided. Thank you very much.
Sakita Grant, followed by Jonathan Alexander, Jen Eckerly, and Megan Wiley. Ms. Grant.
Thank you. Good afternoon, commissioners. Thank you for allowing me time to speak. My name is Sakita Grant. I'm here on my own time. For the last 5 years, I've resided in Southern California in Los Angeles and San Diego, and I've spent ample time using the oceans and the waterways there. For the last 2 years, the last 2 years have been very productive in vetting out any issues involving the Marine Life Protection Act in Southern California and the draft EIR before us today at issue. As previously mentioned, over 2,000 comments have been made by the have been submitted by the public. I believe it is currently imperative that we move forward with this process in order to give Southern California marine life the protection it deserves as of right now. It is therefore my position that we do not delay the progress of the South Coast MLPA, as it is not necessary. Thank you.
Jonathan Alexander, Jen Eckerly, Megan Wiley.
Hi, commissioners. This is my first ever time having a public comment, so I'm going to try and keep this brief. I'm actually only recently become acquainted with the sort of MLPA process, and I was excited to learn about it, and then I was disappointed to learn that we were thinking of delaying the whole implementation, especially when so much work has gone into the design and the inclusion of so many interests in the network of protected areas that are proposed. So I could, read you some statistics, which I'm sure you've already heard about, the drop in size of fish and the decline of commercial fishing revenue over the past 18 years, but I don't think I need to. I'd just like to ask that we keep momentum going on this sort of groundbreaking and important process. Thank you.
Jen Eckerly, Megan Wiley, Samantha Murray.
Good afternoon, President Kellogg and commissioners. My name is Jen Eckerly, and I work for the Natural Resources Defense Council. I was a member of the South Coast RSG, and I was actually a co-lead for Work Group 1, which was the group that was charged with meeting the science guidelines and coming up with a proposal that had cross-interest support. Before I begin, I would just like to thank you all for your continued dedication and hard work towards creating a network of marine protected areas in California. I'm here today to respectfully request that you avoid any necessary delays for the review period of the South Coast CEQA document. While I strongly believe that a timely adoption of a science-based network of MPAs is vital for California and its marine resources, your consideration today to delay this process hits me at a very personal level. As a member of the cross-interest group, I worked tirelessly with my fellow RSG members to come up with a map that everybody could live with, and this was not easy. There were tears and yelling and people threatening to storm out. There were hours of negotiations and trade-offs, including a two-hour discussion over 800 feet of shoreline. There were Sunday evening conference calls. There were late-night discussions over beers after 12 hours of long meetings. The process was challenging and stressful. But despite it all, we listened to one another, and we were able to create a map that balanced the interests of everyone in the room. No one was thrilled with the outcome, but everybody could live with it. I'm proud of the work that I and my fellow members on the RSG did, and I'm proud to see that many of the shapes that we created have found their way into the Commission's preferred alternative. I wanted to address an issue that was raised previously in the hearing. The South Coast RSG did, in fact, include representation of South Coast tribes. We had tribal representative in our work group, and we worked really hard to integrate cultural and historic interests into our network. We actually made recommendations for tribal co-management of several MPAs in our proposals, and these recommendations were adopted by the BRTF in their preferred alternative. So I just would like to say, please validate all the hard work that we did on the RSG by keeping the MLPA on track. The MLPA is one of the most important issues that will come before you. The long-term sustainability of California's coastal ecology and our economy depends on a healthy ocean. We need your leadership, and we cannot afford to miss this opportunity. Therefore, I encourage you to move forward with the South Coast process in a timely manner and avoid any unnecessary or counterproductive delays. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Megan Wiley, followed by Samantha Murray, Stephen Facuto, and Dan Bauer. Ms. Wiley.
Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Megan Wiley. I'm with San Diego Coastkeeper. I, of course, wanted to thank you in your efforts for creating MPAs in Southern California. It's my perspective that the commission has really already responded to the request for more opportunity to explore potential issues. In scheduling the scoping meeting on July 23rd of this year, as it was mentioned before, it was poorly attended, and there were plenty of 45-minute coffee breaks, and no new issues were really raised. The design of the South Coast MPAs have really been fully discussed over the last 2 years, and all potential issues vetted with all constituencies. And I think it's worth pointing out that the DEIR is really a compilation of all the documents that have already been reviewed, such as the regional profile and the SAT analyses and those documents. Switching tracks a little bit, I'm a San Diego native, and I unfortunately still live and work in San Diego for an organization that I believe in. And a big part of San Diego Coastkeeper's mission is to connect with our community and our members on coastal issues that impact our county. And we began engaging our community about the MLPA process over 3 years ago, before the South Coast Study Region was even slated as next up after the North Coast. And then since then, we participated in the RSG. And so we worked really hard in encouraging public input and attendance at all MLPA meetings, an example of which was the success of our engagement with our community was the October 2009 BRTF decision-making meeting at which over 1,100 members of the public turned out, point being that this is an important issue to the people of Southern California, and all parties have been working really hard to make sure that the folks of Southern California stay engaged and invested in this issue. And our constituencies and our membership are really interested and hoping to see that the adoption hearing stays on track and the review of the DEIR. And because the October 20th, 21st discussion meeting is set for my hometown, we've been extra diligent over the past couple of months in reaching out to our community and talking to hundreds of individuals and groups who we've both reached out to and have reached out to us. And we're preparing them to attend this meeting, and they have the save the date range on all of their calendars and are really looking forward to this discussion. I brought with me some copies of letters submitted by student and university groups who have taken a really excellent interest in the whole legislative and design process and are even working on some projects to present to the commission at the October meeting and are looking forward to it being in San Diego. And they, too, encourage the commission to keep to the current schedule. Really great personal reward comes from protecting the places where we live and play and the places that we count on as a resource. And I'm here to show you that the people in San Diego and myself personally is really deeply invested in this issue, and we would like it to stay on track. We really respect and greatly appreciate all the effort and time that's been dedicated to this process by all parties so far, and thank you for your consideration for my comments today.
Samantha Murray, Steve Fukuto, Dan Bauer, Sarah Sikich.
Good afternoon, President Kellogg, members of the commission. My name is Samantha Murray, and I'm with Ocean Conservancy. You've heard a lot today about all the good, hard work and deliberation that was done by South Coast stakeholders. And I understand that the commission wants to take the time it needs to take a hard look at all the issues and sort of evaluate them yourself. But I want to take a moment to talk about my experience with the effects of unnecessary delay on the North Central Coast. I sat on the regional stakeholder group in the North Central Coast and co-led the Middle Ground Working Group, whose proposal served as the foundation for the MPA network that you adopted in August of 2009. All in all, the North Central Coast RSG came up with three proposals, and they had essentially the very same MPA proposals at 7 of 10 geographies in the North Central Coast. So in short, we had a lot of agreement across interests, and it was a great feeling to have come so far together. Unfortunately, what I saw over the 14 months that followed while the MPA proposals were before your commission was a gradual disintegration of all that goodwill and agreement that we had come to together. I saw folks backpedal against agreements that we had made and, you know, seeing an opportunity to take another bite at the apple and get something else. And by the time the North Central Coast MPAs were adopted in August of 2009, and rest assured, that proposal that was adopted by your commission was a proposal that in April 2008, nearly everyone I spoke to said they could live with. But once it was adopted at that commission hearing in 2009, nearly all of that goodwill and agreement that was cultivated by the North Central Coast stakeholders had been eroded. The final hearing was polarized. There was a revival of arguments that had long been sorted out, you know, years ago, frankly. And honestly, it made me a little sad. Really, it made me sad. You can ask my boss. There were tears. We had worked so hard, and we had come so far and made such strides in coming to agreement together across interests, yet that final hearing just did not reflect that. So here you are now in nearly month 10 of the South Coast process. You've had the proposals before you almost 10 months. So I ask you to just take the lessons that we've learned together on the North Central Coast, and let's not let all the South Coast folks forget that they really did come a long way in terms of agreement and compromise, and let's not let them forget that we really do have more in common than we have in disagreement. Thanks.
Thank you. Steve Fukuto, Dan Bauer, Sarah Sikich, Pamela Flick.
Commissioners, John, I'd like to cede my time to George Osborne. Thank you very much.
He'll have 4 minutes. Dan Bauer.
Is that Dan Bacher?
Bacher? Go ahead, please. It's hard for me to read this writing. I'm sorry.
Okay. My name is Dan Bacher. I'm editor of the Fish Sniffer magazine. I'm an investigative journalist and environmental justice advocate. And I am a member of the Motherlode chapter of the Sierra Club and one of the original members of the Klamath Riverkeeper Organization. And I'm a board member of Water for Fish. I'm also a member of the advisory boards of Restore the Delta and the Save the American River Association. I have 3 points to make. First, I urge the Fish and Game Commission to vote for the proposal to extend the South Coast MLPA DER by an additional 45 days. The environmental impact report was given a 45-day review and comment period but an additional 45 days would provide the public with badly needed time to review and comment on this 548-page report. There is no need to fast-track the South Coast MLPA decision before the governor leaves office. Second, in my 27 years of covering environmental water and fishing issues in California and the West, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger's MLPA initiative is the most shameful example of corporate greenwashing and corruption I have ever witnessed. The initiative, funded privately by the Resources Legacy Fund Foundation, has taken oil drilling, water pollution, wave energy projects, military testing, habitat destruction, and other human uses of the ocean, other than fishing and gathering, off the table in its perverse conception of, quote, marine protected areas, unquote. The Blue Ribbon Task Forces that oversee the MLPA initiative are dominated by oil industry, marina development, real estate, and other special interests that have many conflicts of interest in the implementation process. Catherine Reese Boyd, president of the Western States Petroleum Association, was a chair of the South Coast MLPA Blue Ribbon Task Force and now serves on the North Coast panel. I urge the commission to support a state and federal investigation into the conflicts of interest and possible violations of state, federal, and international laws that have taken place under this privatized process. Third, I'm appalled by the manner in which the new commissioner here today, Jack Bayless, was appointed at the last minute by Governor Schwarzenegger in an obvious move to manipulate the vote on the DEIR extension. This is a mockery of the democratic process and an insult to the many fishermen, Indian tribal members, and environmentalists who support a delay in the implementation of the MLPA process. Finally, I'd like to thank Daniel Richards for, in the article where he was interviewed in the San Diego Union Tribune, for speaking truth to power, for speaking truth to corruption. Thank you.
Okay, I want to make sure I did this right before. I read, I think, Stephanie Sikich, and now I'm reading Sarah Sikich. And do I have that right? Okay, Sarah, you're up, followed by you probably followed among other problems, I'm sure, followed by Pamela Flick. There we go, and Caitlin Gaffney. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. My name is Sarah Sikich. No relation to Stephanie Sikich, although uncanny common last names. I'm the Coastal Resources Director for Heal the Bay, and I was also a member of Work Group 1, which was the cross-interest group that Jen spoke of earlier in the regional stakeholder group process. So I've spent over 2 years of my life dedicated to this whole process, and not just for work reasons, really for personal reasons. I'm a scuba diver, surfer. I spend as much time in the ocean as possible and really want to see these MPAs move forward. I want to address a couple of things here today. The first is concerns about the DEIR being a very lengthy document with new information to review. And I understand that you've got a thoughtful consideration before you today in making this decision. And I've reviewed the EIR and can tell from it that I recognize much of this material. It's material that's compiled from several documents that have been reviewed through the public, through the scientific advisory team process, the regional profile, which was reviewed by the entire stakeholder group as well as general public. So it's really a compilation of existing material that's been brought through this whole process over the past couple of years. Secondly, I wanted to address some of the water quality concerns that have been raised on Palos Verdes. I've been at these meetings for over 2 years. I've celebrated birthdays and wedding anniversaries with regional stakeholder groups instead of my own family, which is just a testament to not only myself, but everybody who's put a lot of time into this. And people like Los Angeles County Sanitation have been there right there with us. And they've raised concerns, many of which have been addressed. There's language in the regulations that allows for existing monitoring and maintenance activities in marine protected areas that they're concerned about for water quality and for scientific research. And as you heard earlier, the State Water Board is really working through those problems with them. So I'm confident that they can find a solution that will not compromise the MPAs at the end of the day. As a regional stakeholder group member, I realized quickly that MBA designation is a careful balancing act, and no single entity gets their way. For example, care was taken in putting that Palos Verdes MPA in the place it was. I personally would like to see it elsewhere, but the BRTF had to balance issues of the outfall to the south and issues of municipal concerns and fishing concerns to the north and putting it in an area that I think would be environmentally preferable. At the end of the day, it's a balance, and we can live with it. So I'd just like to remind you of all this and really hope that you take these things into account today and understand that the South Coast is a tricky area, but those things have been addressed, and we don't want to compromise the South Coast any further by delaying this process. Thank you.
Commissioner Richards.
Yeah, hang on.
Just a second.
Hang on for 1 second, if you might. Don't mind. Thank you for a well-stated and thoughtful presentation. I appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. You spent 2 years. I just want to make sure really that we keep perspective on the discussion of what we're doing today. Today is a discussion on the comment period on the DEIR that has been issued. This is not a discussion about all the hard work for 2 years that you and many others did in the process to create the marine protected area in the South Coast that we're discussing. This is the review period and comment period to that EIR. You agree with that, I assume?
Yes.
Okay. So after 2 years worth of work and all these days and all these thousands of comments and everything, I guess what I'm hearing the Santa Monica Baykeepers say is that you're satisfied that a 45-day period is more than adequate for, I don't know, 10 or 12 million people and businesses in Southern California to comment on the 548-page document.
First of all, I don't want to speak on behalf of Santa Monica Baykeeper because I work for Heal the Bay.
Oh, Heal the Bay, I'm sorry.
On behalf of Heal the Bay, I do believe it's adequate. What I was trying to convey in my comments was that this information has been coming along through the whole process. I've reviewed scientific advisory team documents that are now in the EIR. I've reviewed the regional profile, which is very well reflected in the EIR. And as a regional stakeholder group, I'm a conduit to many of the people in Santa Monica that care about this issue.
Right.
When I talk with them about the potential of delay, overwhelmingly I get the response of, I can't believe this may even be delayed. We need these MPAs now. We think it's been a good process. We think the document's fine. We'd like it to move forward.
And I get that, but I just, I mean, the nuance here is if you have, if you've spent that much time on something, it's not the document that's being reviewed at that point. It's the process of creation of that document. So people can't comment on it. They comment on the process to create the document, but you don't know what the final document is until the 45-day period starts. Here's the document. Here's where you can make your comments. So all of that work, valuable and invaluable, of course, through the whole process, is not the same as the review period of what the final product is. And so 45 days is an adequate time to review all of that hard work.
45 days for me is adequate. We will have comments ready in the timeline that's been put forth.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Pamela Flick, followed by Caitlin Gaffney, followed by George Osborne.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. My name is Pamela Flick, and on behalf of Defenders of Wildlife and our more than 145,000 members here in California, I respectfully request that you do not unnecessarily delay the process to consider and implement a network of marine reserves in Southern California. Whatever the individual perspective, each of the user groups that has joined you today here and in the process has joined in good faith with honorable intentions in the hope that we can collectively gain some incremental restoration of what can only be described as deterioration of our marine ecosystem. We thank each of you for your service and your own dedication to this process, and that although we have never expected progress towards restoration to be easy nor speedy, we continue to stand in support of forward momentum, not the step backward that unwarranted delay at this point would signal. The South Coast Network proposal, as you've heard, has already undergone extensive design, negotiation, give and take, and review in a transparent public process unprecedented in California's history. This process has already been informed by a 300-page regional profile, in addition to extensive discussions leading to accommodation of views from the Department of Defense, state and regional water boards, and other relevant agencies. An in-depth evaluation and detailed biological, social, and economic information has been compiled over the course of the last 23 months. We ask that you do not unduly impede the progress towards a carefully considered outcome at a time when citizens of California, like those throughout the rest of the nation, have been recently reminded so graphically about our dependence on healthy coastal waters and the critical need to restore our marine ecosystem. Thank you for your commitment to this process and to California's marine environment. Thank you.
Caitlin Gaffney, followed by George Osborne, then Marcella Gutierrez. Ms. Gaffney.
Good afternoon. Caitlin Gaffney with the Ocean Conservancy. I spoke to you on this issue a couple of weeks ago, but it's good to see you all here again today. And I wanted to add my thanks to those that have come before for your time and dedication to the state of California and protection of its resources. About 6 weeks ago, I had the incredible privilege of scuba diving off of Catalina Island and coming face to face with about a 200-pound black sea bass, which was a pretty exciting experience, a little frightening, but a very exciting experience for me. As you probably know, black sea bass are a species that was in pretty serious trouble several years ago. Protective measures were put in place, and it is because of that foresight and that good management that I had that experience of being able to look a 200-pound sea bass in the eye. I hope one day my children will be able to look at a 500-pound sea bass, because that's what we used to have, and hopefully we will have again one day. I raise this point just to reiterate the importance of the task before you, not just, of course, the Marine Life Protection Act and South Coast MPAs, but all of the responsibilities of the Commission. You have a very serious burden on your shoulders to protect these resources for current Californians, but also those who come in the future. And I urge you to be mindful of those responsibilities and do your best. In this case, I think that requires keeping on track. There's an adage that gardeners use, that the best time to plant a fruit tree was 20 years ago, and the second best time is today. I urge you to move forward with this important process in a timely manner. Thank you.
Caitlin, was that boy, that black sea bass bigger than you are? Did you feel your life was in danger? Twice as big. Thank you.
George Osborne, followed by Marcella Gutierrez, followed by Karen Garrison. Mr. Osborne has 4 minutes. I will reset this.
Thank you, Mr. Fisher. Good afternoon, Mr. President, Commissioners. George Osborne, representing the Partnership for Sustainable Oceans and United Anglers of Southern California, representing thousands of fishermen in the South Coast, those of whom who are lucky enough to still have jobs in today's economic recession or at work today. They're not here. We're representing them. You're aware probably also that I represent the California Fish and Game Wardens Association. The decision before the Commission today should be an easy one. It's not pro-MLPA or anti-MLPA. It's whether or not this Commission, as we believe it does, wants the environmental document to be as comprehensive and accurate and informational as possible. Further, a decision to extend the comment period by 45 days has precedent with this Commission. In the past, the Commission has allowed such extensions and, in fact, has withdrawn EIRs because they neglected to properly evaluate environmental impacts. With regard to marine protected areas specifically, this Commission in 2002 extended the comment period on a DEIR for the Channel Island MPAs by 48 days to a total of 93 days. We ask you to take into account the request for 45-day extension on the DEIR from a widely disparate constituency who will be impacted by your final decision on the placement of the South Coast MPAs and who have expressed the same desire as my clients, fishermen, hunters, and other conservation-minded groups, municipalities, sanitation districts, water agencies, organizations of local government entities, and legislators. They are all of a single mind that the DEIR was prepared before the one scoping meeting held in July, although the DEIR disregards the many scoping comments offered by the PSO and others, it is still an extremely complex document regarding a very controversial project, and more than the 45 days minimum is needed to review analyze, and provide comment on it. The release to the public of the regulatory package during the middle of the DEIR comment period adds to the public's burden of commenting on the DEIR within the minimum 45-day period and raises the new question whether the project described in the DEIR is exactly the same project as the one described in the regulatory package, a question that is not quickly answered. I will point out to you, contrary to what was said previously, that your staff present at the one scoping meeting held in July was complimentary to us in their comments that we actually identified environmental impacts on the South Coast that had not been previously considered in the North Central Coast and the Central Coast phase of the MLPA. Such an extension on the DEIR comment period does not prejudice anyone, it takes away nothing, and will allow for a final EIR that, again, is more comprehensive, more accurate, and informative to the Commission about negative environmental impacts that will be directly caused by adoption of the IPA. We put emphasis on the phrase negative environmental impacts because the IPA will have negative impacts. For example, as you know, the Wardens Association is on record in support of the extension of the comment period. CFGWA has researched the impact on biological resources when a marine reserve is established without adequate enforcement. That research clearly demonstrates that absent enforcements, poachers will descend on an area with impunity, while law-abiding fishermen will go to the edges and fish heavily, more heavily there. Another example is upstream contamination of the watershed by agricultural pollution. Clearly, agricultural chemicals that flow into a marine reserve cause harm. Waters in the South Coast study region have significant pollution from such agricultural operations, and we need more time to evaluate the negative environmental impact of this source point pollution on potential downstream marine reserves. I appreciate the fact that my time is up, so I'll close. This phase of the MLPA affects more people, is much more complex than previous MLPA study regions, with many local environmental issues not yet evaluated. We ask that you grant the additional 45-day extension. And I'm happy to answer any questions if you have any.
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Sutton.
Mr. President, I don't have a question, but I do want to challenge one of the what I think is an unfair comparison or an inappropriate comparison that Mr. Osborne has made, and that is between what was done in 2002 and what we're doing today. 2002, marine reserves, marine protected areas, was a new issue in California. This commission, you recall, Mr. President, that this is the first time it had come before the commission in 2002 at the Channel Islands. We've had 8 years since then. And a lot of public testimony we've had just in the South Coast alone. You know, 60 public meetings, 100 hours of testimony, 3,300 witnesses. This is no longer a new issue for the Commission as it was in 2002. And it may have been appropriate for the Commission at the time to extend a comment period on a relatively new issue that had not been so thoroughly vetted as this one has. But it seems to me a rather inapt and inappropriate comparison to our process today, which has been much more thorough, exhaustive, time-consuming, and so forth. Thank you, Mr. President.
Mr. President, may I respond to that? May I respond to that, please?
Sure.
Yeah, thank you. Even after 2 years of exhaustive work, and God bless these people on the RSG for doing what they did, I wouldn't do it. Okay, so God bless them for that. But even after 2 years of all of that, we got to the DEIR scoping period, and the Commission staff listened to the scoping comments that we made and put on the record and said, yes, you raised new issues that we haven't evaluated in the past. And I'll let it go with that and let that statement by your staff speak for itself. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We're going to just take a real quick five-minute break and be right back. I don't want any commissioner to have to miss any of this. Okay, if everybody can get ready, we'll get this thing rolling again.
My talk's going to be about an hour and 45 minutes. What is that thing, Mike? Is that a computer?
Almost started without you, John. I didn't realize you were gone. Ready? Okay, we're going to start off where we left off.
Ladies and gentlemen,
start
I have
where we left off.
Five more speaker cards, and they will be in this order. Marcella Gutierrez, followed by Karen Garrison, Vern Gehring, Paul Weakland, and Jerry Desmond.
Good afternoon, Commissioners, President Cal. My name is Marcelo Gutierrez. I'm with Wild Coast Costa Salvaje. I was a member of the Southern Coast Regional Stakeholder Group, and I'm a resident of San Diego. First of all, I want to thank you for all your hard work in helping create these marine protected areas. And as a stakeholder, you know, we already discussed all the hours and all the days and all the meetings, but that's what we officially spent. So I want to bring attention to all the unofficial hundreds of hours and miles, in my case, that we spent doing outreach and trying to work a solution that is a good solution for all Californians, present and future. You know, personally, I worked very closely with the MLP initiative and other stakeholders to make sure that this was a thoroughly inclusive process. Now, we worked a lot with underserved communities, minority communities, to facilitate participation into the process. You know, I really wanted to see input that was accurately reflecting the reality of our state now. As an environmental justice activist, I would say right now that I strongly disagree with the people that said that, you know, delaying this process would not take anything away from anybody. It would take a lot away from the people that have made time and the effort to come and participate, people from Oxnard, people from Huntington Park, people from Pacoima, people from Monterey Park, people from Southeast San Diego, people that is maybe not so easy to come and engage, people that are not used to being engaged in the process. I really would like to, I respect and honor this great inclusiveness that is honestly a little bit rare in our state, and to encourage it by not delaying the process further. You know, the MLPA specifically, an example, has managed to engage thoroughly the youth of Anahuac Sports Group in Pacoima in the San Fernando Valley. They've been to the meetings already. They're getting ready to come down to San Diego. They're working the logistics, and they're really hoping to get to talk to you. Please, you know, they're very excited. Hopefully they can get to participate in this landmark process. Because of all of this, I stand here today respectfully to urge you to not delay the process any further. Hopefully we keep the implementation of the MLPA on track. Thank you.
Karen Garrison, Vern Gehring, Paul Weakland.
Good afternoon, Mr. President and members of the Commission. I'm Karen Garrison, representing NRDC and our 1.3 million members and activists. I greatly appreciate the work that you've done and the care that you've put into implementing the Marine Life Protection Act. I come from a fishing and boating family, but also one that values parks, and I deeply believe that the two can coexist. There are compelling reasons to stay the course and stick with the current schedule, and I'll focus on two of them. First, the MLPA is unusual in that it integrates aspects of CEQA into its very structure. At the heart of CEQA is the concept that analyzing alternatives can help decision makers maintain a high quality of environment for the people of this state now and into the future. Instead of leaving that information gathering and alternatives analysis to the end, the MLPA process provides it along the way through detailed mapping early in the process, a regional profile richly informed by local and traditional knowledge, development and analysis of alternatives, and iterative design that puts that analysis to work. The process encourages public comment at every step of the way and empowers stakeholders themselves to design alternatives and find common ground. The result is a compromise that balances a full range of interests. In short, the Marine Life Protection Act provides much of the analysis and comment opportunity of CEQA, where it can make more difference right at the front end, as well as after identifying the preferred alternative. Front-loading doesn't displace CEQA, but it expands public comment opportunities in really important ways. The second reason I want to mention is that given the expansive amount of public comment opportunity in the MLPA, the schedule is really the structure that holds up the house. The MLPA provides more opportunity and more pathways for public involvement than any process in the state's history. The only way decision makers can accommodate that level of involvement and still reach completion is to stick to a schedule. That commitment has achieved tangible gains, networks of marine protected areas in the water in the central and north central regions. The MLPA is our premier ocean restoration statute. We're in the home stretch. Let's stay on schedule. Let's stay on schedule and go the distance. Thank you.
Okay, the final three cards I have, Vern Gehring, Paul Weakland, Jerry Desmond. Mr. Gehring.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and Mr. President, and the commission members, Mr. Bayless, welcome aboard. I'm Vern Gehring. I'm representing the California Fisheries Coalition and its two dozen partner organizations. We've constructively participated in the MLPA implementation process since 2004. We were instrumental in each region, working collaboratively with other stakeholders in developing an MPA alternative meeting the policy requirements of the Blue Ribbon Task Force, while also minimizing the resource and economic effects on our local communities. We submitted a letter requesting an extension of public comment time, so I won't go through that. I hope you've had a chance to review it. Many leaders in the environmental community, including none other than former Senator Byron Scheer and former Attorney General John Vandenkamp, have testified frequently and eloquently to the central role that public engagement plays in the CEQA process. They have pointed out that the purpose, or one of the main purposes of CEQA, is to in fact empower the people on the margins, not retaining or shielding the public decision-making process to only those people who are well endowed with resources to participate. Informal discussion that took place under the BRTF process, while it was helpful, it cannot substitute for a robust CEQA process. There's a vast difference between recognizing the letter of the law and respecting the spirit of the law. As you all know, the CEQA law mandates a minimum public review and comment period of 45 days, but no one can dispute that the spirit of the law requires that the public be granted sufficient time to adequately understand the project and how it may impact their community. Granting an extended comment period is not unusual for large complex projects. We compiled a short list of such projects included in our letter to demonstrate the rigor that is common in analyzing an impacts, including the public. An expanded comment time is not unusual, and public comments frequently lead to DIRs being revised and improved. Many individuals, organizations, and local agencies have requested a very reasonable and ordinary extension of time to review the Southern Project. These people have given hundreds of hours of their time constructively engaged in the MLPA process. Most missed many days of work, attending meetings, learning computerized tools, and wrestling with complicated science. Nonetheless, they are now often vilified as having an ulterior, sinister motive. They simply need more time. The proposed MPA network is a significant project affecting nearly one-third of the California coast, five of the most heavily populated counties, millions of people, hundreds of local governments and special districts. Unintended consequences could be legion, yet they are poorly analyzed and understood. If the MPA project is warranted and justified, it will withstand more scrutiny and administration change. Projects do it all the time as city councils, mayors, and even governors change. Meg Caldwell, a leader on the BRTF and leader on coastal issues, once wrote, quote, CEQA documents provide invaluable information. Especially important are comments from other public agencies and the public. Thank you.
Paul Weakland, followed by Jerry Desmond.
Commissioners, Paul Weakland. How about a little reality check? First, the funding, the sources of the finances This is tainted money. Anything that comes from it will be poisoned fruit. The large allowance of cash that are being thrown at this project shows that it is not transparent. We have asked time and again, where is all the money coming from? We get hit with a shut door saying anonymous donors. That's foul. Delay would be fair and equitable. The last meeting, you had to talk about the fair law and Stewart's Point, how you were changing and redesigning what the last document said in the last moments. You'd already voted on everything, but you went and changed the fair law special closure. Then we had to go back and redo the special closure. So now the fair law has a special closure, and Stewart's Point, another one. Outfall from San Francisco Bay was talked about in the North Central, but was just passed over. Now, modified, still changing. The outcomes. How many traditional historic jobs are being lost? You don't want to talk about that part. The MLPA and the MLMA are 10 years of public comment. The MLPA, the thing you're rallying around here, has still not been implemented. This is hypocrisy. So the MLPA has not been implemented. We had 10 years of public comment on it, and still nothing being done. We have just voided and delisted 19 of 21 areas, designations, no take zones on land, the no harvest, no hunting zones eliminated. This shows that these no harvest zones on land do not work. This was just done at your last meeting. So now let's talk about the lies, the fraud, the inconsistencies, the hypocrisy. The monitoring at the Channel Islands for 5 years. What was the outcome? The department's findings were that no measurable or detectable benefits had been realized. And what did you do? Oh, well, we'll keep studying for another 5 years, change the studies, change the methods. The failures of the Marine Protection Act and the zonal management failures have been stricken from the records. The lack of enforcement, the out-of-control poaching, the unethical researchers. Let's connect a little bit on ethical researchers. What are they searching for? Another grant. We've been taught many lessons we're not being allowed to learn. It's not nice to fool with Mother Nature. The landings are down because the regulations have changed. The seasonal closures have been shortened. Less days to fish. Bag limits were enacted. Total allowable catch. New gear restrictions. Less fishermen. Area closures. The biggest reason the landings are down is because the ability and the opportunity to fish is down. The contradictions and hypocrisy are enormous. Double checks. What have we double checked? These are necessary to verify and validate some of these snake oil sales.
Time's up, Paul.
That know all the answers. The sale of Panacea. Close everything.
Our final speaker, Mr. Jerry Desmond.
Commissioners and department, Jerry Desmond, Jr., I'm Director of Government Relations for Recreational Boaters of California. Thanks. RBOC is a nonprofit governmental advocacy organization that represents 45,000 boating families and 180 boating, sailing, and yachting clubs throughout the state. We're in our 42nd year representing boaters before the legislative and executive branches of state government. The South Coast region that's impacted by the issue at hand today is the largest and most complex study region with a highly diverse marine environment and a greater number of affected stakeholders than any other region. For this reason, public outreach through an extended public comment period is both important and would be helpful to the process. It would address the issues that have already been raised regarding the complex, over 500-page document that is at hand. It would address the issues related to there being a regulatory package released during the same period of time. In addition, that extension would clearly provide an opportunity for additional negative environmental impacts to be identified. We join the 800 emails that have been submitted, as well as the anglers, the municipalities, and the departments in urging an additional comment period. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
You got a question for him?
No.
I was going to take my privilege as chairman to be the first commissioner to...
Indeed. Maybe we should hear from the department first, and then... Because I think John said he wanted to.
Oh.
He had a statement or something.
I didn't know that. He didn't tell me.
Mr. President, if I may, could you guys put up on the board this chart that we saw before?
Yeah, that one. Thanks. So I think it's important to point out the department's issue in the timing debate, and it primarily has to do with our ability to get to the determination that you have made that we scheduled December 15th, 16th as the decision period. If you'll note under the CEQA review discussion, we close October 4th on at the current schedule through November 18th on the various alternatives that are under consideration. The period from that closure date until December 15th, when we have to have a final product, is used to conduct the mandatory response to comments. The problem is that we're concerned and have our opinion is that we can't get you in your binders sufficient completed information to meet the statutory requirement under CEQA for a December 15th, 16th decision date if you go past October 19th, basically. So that's the state of play, is that the department has to respond to all those comments. That takes time and effort and staff. We're dedicating all we can to it and putting all the expertise we can into it. But if you get into November, we're not going to make your binder date. And therefore, you wouldn't be able to make the noticed, you've already noticed, decision date in mid-December.
Thank you, John. Okay, that's... Guys, if you bear with me a minute, each commissioner is going to have an opportunity to have a say so about how they feel about stuff. I want to take the privilege of being first, and then I'm going to offer a motion, which if seconded, people can say their piece on the motion. If that's not the way you would prefer it, we'd let each commissioner have their say, and then I'll come back and make the motion. It's up to you guys. But first of all, I want to thank every single person that spoke today. I've been involved in this for a long time through the Channel Islands and the North and Central Coast, and even some of the people that used to hate me, I actually like now. They come here and they share what their part was in the process and continue to tell me and the commissioners what our responsibilities are. But still, we get that from both sides. sitting here for going close to 10 years now, every time we have an issue, we have people in the audience telling us what our responsibilities are. And someday we're going to get that, folks. but the one point I want to make is this is a huge ordeal, as we all know. And because of that, this is not a normal CEQA document. This is a CEQA document that is huge. Now, I don't know how many of you are dealing with CEQA on a daily basis in your real jobs or your life, but unfortunately, I've had to deal with it for a lot of years since it became a law in California. And prior to being on this commission, I was on the Transportation Commission, and we had a lot of CEQA documents that were as big, if not bigger, than this. And we always had more days for public comment than what we've provided in this particular document. And when you're dealing with so many people's lives, their jobs, their businesses, and their livelihoods, I don't see anything wrong with extending the comment time period on a decision that is going to be lasting forever. And I appreciate all the work that all the groups did and all the hearings, and I respect the fact that you feel like you've had enough comment and that we need to end this thing. But in the very end, and I've said it many times before, and we couldn't have got here without your help. But ultimately, there's five people who make the final decision that are sitting up here at this table right now. And we're the ones that have to live with that final decision that's going to be cast in concrete for the rest of time. Some of the same groups in the past, even in my everyday life, I'm dealing with building and construction and CEQA documents and comment periods and not the same people that speak before us, but the same groups are represented by their people. And they are the very ones who are asking for extended comment periods on a lot of those CEQA documents. So it depends on where you're at on the issue, and I understand that. I feel bad that I blame myself because we lost a short-time commissioner because of my actions at the last meeting. And now instead of being here, he's watching us on TV, having a beer and a cigar, something that I love to do, and I feel bad that he's able to do that, and I have to be here involved in this still. But with all that being said, I know the rest of the commissioners have a few comments they want to say themselves. But that being said, math was not one of my best subjects in school, but this math I can figure out, so 45 days is not even a topic of discussion at this point. But Commissioner Sutton did offer up an alternative at the last meeting, and not sure that that's still a possibility or not. But I would like to make this motion and then have discussion, if I get a second, that we extend the comment period for 15 days.
I'll second that.
Okay, on the discussion, commissioners. Commissioner Sutton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I share your desire to be somewhere else. But that said, I have to say that I'm proud of what this commission has done over the last 4 or 5 years regarding implementing this statute, this state law called the Marine Life Protection Act. We have advanced state-of-the-art protection and management of our oceans and our coastal and ocean resources. Misinformation and rhetoric aside, the public process has been absolutely cutting edge in the MLPA. The funding mechanism of public-private partnership has been innovative and state-of-the-art. We are showing the rest of the country how to do this right and how to involve everybody in doing it. Now, to the present question, Mr. President, 2 years, almost 60 public meetings, more than 100 hours of public testimony, 3,300 public speakers later, we are, maybe it's not surprising under the circumstances that only a handful of people showed up at a scoping hearing that we authorized last month. It seems that nearly everything that could possibly be said about the South Coast Study Region has already been said, and everyone recognizes that. Under the circumstances, it's hard to see the current calls for to delay the CEQA process as anything but efforts to derail, obstruct, and defeat the MLPA itself, under the assumption that the next governor will be less interested in the MLPA than Governor Schwarzenegger has been. Now, with that in mind, Mr. Chairman, I can support no further delay in this process and would agree to no more than a 10 to 15-day extension consistent with your motion. So thank you for making that.
Thank you, Commissioner Sutton. Any other? Commissioner Rogers.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I completely concur with your remarks, which I thought were quite eloquent. In addition to Commissioner Sutton's remarks, there were a number of concerns that I had coming into this discussion, not today, but engaging in this discussion of the MLPA and the BRTF process as we got towards the end of it here. One was, of course, the sanitary district's issues, which I still am quite concerned about, but I am persuaded by both by the secretary as well as the Department of Water Resources that they are going to address that, and do not mean to interfere in any way with that. And on the basis of that, I'm convinced, or satisfied rather, that rather substantive problem is not going to be one. The second was that MPAs, and there were lots of assertions during the process, that MPAs cost significant economic damages. There's a little evil devil in me that loves to scream lies when he hears lies. I won't even grace that one with a distortion or a disingenuous comment. They are lies. There is not a single peer-reviewed study out there that does not show that MPAs, in fact, over a period of time, produce positive results. Virtually everybody on the planet at this point in time knows that, except people who have a different agenda. I would welcome commentary on that one, and you can send it to the commission if you'd like. We're not voting on this until December. I would welcome that, but please show me a peer-reviewed study from an MPA somewhere else in the world, or even here in California, that shows negative effects. I would be delighted to accept that. One, there's not enough time. That was another thing that we heard. Not enough time. Rushing into decision. Fast track. Good Lord. This thing is like a slow motion event. Many people, in fact, commented about this. I mean, Sam commented about it. I saw her the day of that decision and what had happened. I, too, felt the agony of having had virtually everybody in the room, pretty much virtually everybody in the room, all together on something. And then over a 14-month or so period of time, people started going home and getting talked to by folks, and it just started pulling the entire thing apart. That is a very serious error. We're not going to make that mistake. And then finally, the comment and the concern that fisheries are not in decline. There's an old, I forget what it's called, but I'll tell you what I think of it as. Each one of us enters into the water, if in fact you do scuba dive, and I started scuba diving and snorkeling in the 1950s. Yes, I did. And I have tens of thousands of hours underwater. And I was one of those guys. Caitlin was startled by a 200-pound or so black sea bass and commented that at one point in time they were 500-pound sea bass. Yes, I shot a lot of them. I was one of those guys who knew they're very territorial. They sit in a cave, and they just look at you because they fear no one. And it was very easy to go down, particularly around the La Jolla area, to go down and hunt them. And I was one of the guys who did that. And I've never been actually more upset with myself in retrospect, because they were just too easy. It wasn't really a sport. And now we're seeing them back on a very aggressive campaign to reintroduce them and get them to go back. The issue of serial expectations, if you go out there diving now, you think that that's what it is. You won't find anyone of my age who was a genuine diver in the Channel Islands, and I was, in the 1950s, who will not tell you it is not the same. It's not even close to the same. We had far more fish, far larger fish. They were virtually everywhere. And now we don't have that. And it doesn't matter whether it's pollution. It doesn't matter whether it's fishing. It doesn't matter. The point of the matter is that we are not going to, at least on my watch, We are not going to repeat the tragedy of the Commons in the state of California. That is not going to happen. I have never been so proud of anything in my life as I am of the BRTF. The people who were on all the RSG, all the study, the stakeholder groups, these people are fantastic. They're not paid to do any of this stuff. Some of them have a job to do that, but the vast majority of people were raising their own hands to try to protect long-term the ocean resources of the state of California, which I might point out to everyone, belong to all of the people of the state of California, not just fishermen or environmentalists. They belong to everybody, and they want them there, okay? And they want us to create a situation where, without doing economic damage, and they will not do economic damage, MPAs can produce the sustainable abundance that we once enjoyed. I thought it was the state of the world when I started diving. I thought that was the way it is. I have a boat. I go out into the Channel Islands frequently. I dive often. It isn't even close to what it was. So I am in support, Mr. President, of your motion and intend to vote for it.
Commissioner Bayless, would you...
President Kellogg, thank you.
I would be shocked if you made any comments and didn't vote no on this deal after what we've seen. But I'm
happy to say I support you and what Commissioner Sutton indicated, and would support no more than a 10 to 15 delay and drive towards adoption in December.
Thank you. And last but not least, Commissioner Richards.
Governor Schwarzenegger's best friend. As usual, we are the commission's comments and thoughts are thoughtful and well said. Of course, I am mindful, and one of the things that I definitely have is a long memory, and today's comments have been very enlightening to me, particularly from the environmental community, that a 45-day review period of this document is adequate. I will remember that as we go forward, because I've often thought they felt that was not enough time, so that was helpful to me today. This matter is obviously going to pass. It's going to pass, I'm going to guess, on a unanimous vote today. But it's not about this is the elephant in the room is the election of a new governor, and this is contingent on that, and failure to acknowledge that and to say it loudly, it would be a mistake on my part. I can't do it. I'm not a politician. I'm just a guy trying to do the right thing, and this is a document that will set in place for a lifetime, because I don't believe we'll ever have the money to do the analysis to make any changes to it whatsoever, and I believe those proponents of it understand that. And so we're going to have these closures forever, and Director McCammon's comments on the inability of our department to be able to timely present data to us that's required is emblematic of the greater problem of a $40 million minimum annual cost to a program that we don't have any money for, and we have a $5 million at least coming cut to our existing budget, furloughs, et cetera, et cetera. So it's just foolhardy in my humble opinion. Nonetheless, I intend to support the motion and support my fellow commissioners candidly. I think it's important that there's some compromise there, and I cannot more strongly urge those who have sought any extension to adequately, thoughtfully, and with some depth address issues and concerns they have, because failure to do that will make any future efforts to do that nearly impossible. If we're not going to have thoughtful comment and meaningful comment, and to go through all the effort we've gone through in this special meeting on everything else to get 15 more days, then that was all for naught. So I'm hopeful that we will see that. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Richards. So hopefully everybody understands it's our five decision, the ultimate decision on this stuff. And 15 days more to comment on a lifetime decision with the department saying they could still meet the deadlines if we stay with that. I hope everybody can sleep okay tonight on that. With that, I have a motion and a second, and I'm going to ask John to do a roll call vote.
Okay. For the record, the motion was to extend the public comment period by 15 days by President Kellogg, seconded by Commissioner Vice President Richard Rogers. Roll call vote. Commissioner Richards?
Aye.
Commissioner Sutton?
Aye.
Commissioner Bayless?
Aye.
Vice President Rogers?
Aye.
President Kellogg?
Aye.
Motion's passed unanimously. AGP, if you can put that slide up again just so that folks can see that we have a 15-day extension. Mr. President, our next meeting remains as October 20 and 21 in San Diego.
Okay, with that, we are adjourned.
What time?